Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Today, I'm excited to introduce you to my friend, Thane Marcus Ringler. Thane and I are talking all about chasing our dreams even when it's hard, especially when it's hard, and how we want to encourage you to live a life worthy of your calling. And we also talk about how to sort out what your calling even is. I had such a fun time talking and getting to know Thane, and I know that you will too. While we're on the topic of being courageous and searching out our calling, I wanted to tell you some super exciting news. I get the opportunity to be a speaker for the online women's retreat, New Year, New Thing. If you're having a hard time dreaming or goal setting for 2021 because 2020 was so hard, I want to encourage you to sign up for this retreat. It's online starting January 2nd, and you'll get all the speakers' talks right away and have access to them all year long. The early bird pricing is available now through Friday, December 18th for just $38. There are some incredible speakers ready to encourage you to chase your dreams, help you change your mindset, and teach you how to run your race with perseverance. I'm so excited about it, and I would love for you to join me. So sign up. The link is in the description below or on my Instagram bio. Let's make 2020 the year we decided to chase our dreams. Okay, now let's get to this week's conversation with Thane Marcus Ringler. So grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited to introduce you to my new friend, Thane Marcus Ringler. Thane is going to be here. We're talking all about Christians and me, Christians being passionate, inspiring, and courageous. I've said that like three times with Thane already, so I'm like already stumbling over my words. But hey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you doing? It's been fun to chat a little bit here and excited to dive more into the conversation together.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. What is in your cup?
Right now, it is a hometown blend from Sweet Bloom. Sweet Bloom's a local roaster here in Denver. They're pretty renowned right now. They've kind of blown up, but it's a blend of a natural and washed Ethiopian. So I'm kind of a coffee. I like to say connoisseur. It's different than a snob, meaning I can drink any type. I'm not preferential, but I do appreciate good coffee.
When you're out and about and you're in Denver, I think is what you said. Mm-hmm. So there's like lots of really great coffee shops. What kind of coffee do you order?
My top two orders are either what they're brewing on drip or an espresso, and I base that usually on what I'm feeling or what type of coffee they're offering. The wild card order is an Americano, hot or iced, and then occasionally I will go for a cappuccino or some type of latte or special drink that they offer, but I love getting to experience different roasters and what they want to bring out in coffee, because everyone has their unique idea of what coffee it tastes best as. Mm-hmm. And what's cool is there's this freedom of expression that covers a wide range, and you get to experience a whole different type of coffee depending on the roaster and the style and the process, to where it's a really fun journey. And Denver's scene is popping, like most big cities are. Yeah. Nowadays. It's a really big and healthy and vibrant culture. So it's a lot of fun.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And I'm just the girl that's like, hey, let's meet at the coffee shop. Let's grab a coffee and we're just going to sit and talk, which is exactly what we're doing today.
Done. We're here, except not quite as, you know, ambient as a cafe, unfortunately. That's a part of the benefit of cafe is that the ambiance and yeah. the environment atmosphere. But our rooms and our studios here are great for what they are.
They're great. Okay, so here's a question for you. When you go to a coffee shop and say you're like sitting down to work, are you a headphones in kind of person? Or do you like try to keep the ambiance, like try to like have that whole vibe?
It totally depends. I think I can go either way. And I like the flexibility there because there are some places where sometimes when you're doing deep work, like writing or thinking or brainstorming or trying to do creative work, sometimes it's really helpful to have background noise. And that can really set you into a flow state. Other times, if you find yourself getting distracted with conversations or eavesdropping, yeah, throw in those headphones and let's get after it. So it really depends. But I think the energy you feel from being in those places, or the inspiration that comes from beautiful spaces, is intangible reward that it's worth some weight in gold, in a sense. I think it's worth the cost or energy to go there a lot of times if you're going to do some deep work.
Yeah. It's one thing I've really missed about 2020 is I would take Fridays and go to a coffee shop and sit. And I think I'm in Texas, so we're a little bit more open now that I think that a lot more coffee shops are doing that. But I haven't found that rhythm again, you know, like how we get out of those rhythms. And so I think I'm trying to think of my week. I think tomorrow, no, I'll probably have to wait another week, but I'm excited to go back to a coffee shop and do some, like, some of that deep, like, when you're out of your home, I love working from home, but kind of that mix up of our elements is a really nice way to brainstorm new ideas. And so, I'm excited to do that. I miss it.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I think, it's interesting too, like one of the things I loved most when I was single was going on Saturday mornings, you know, and not that many people are awake, to a cafe and just camping out for like 4 hours. And that was my deep writing time that I just loved, because you just feel, it just feels more, intimate, cause not as many people are up and out. And I think those environmental triggers are so helpful. Like you said, working from home is a beautiful thing, but it requires more discipline to create those triggers of, now it's work time, now I can do some house chores, now it's work time, now I can do some people stuff, you know, so it takes more discipline.
For sure. Okay, Thane, we have been talking all this time, but tell us who you are and what you do.
Well, I'm a coffee guy. No, so I am a development coach. I work with people on professional and personal development, and a podcaster. I have a podcast called The Up and Comers Show. And then I'm a writer and speaker. So I've got a couple books and have been working on growing more speaking opportunities. So it's been kind of a wide ranging path, but I'm all about helping individuals take ownership and never settle. And really that involves self-leadership, so that we can become better leaders of others. Because if we can't lead ourselves well, then we for sure aren't going to be able to lead others well. And, you know, I've even experienced that in my own life. And the times when I've wanted to be a leader of others, and I've been in positions of leadership for others, but then because I wasn't leading myself well, it actually hurt way more people than just myself. Yeah. And I think we all can experience that to some extent. So I'm really passionate about that. I feel really grateful to have some opportunities in that. And I just got married and moved to Denver in March. So a lot of change with the impending pandemic as well, that was basically breaking out right when all that happened.
Oh my goodness. So y'all got married in March when everything was shutting down.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So you guys like just missed all of the shutdown of weddings.
Well, kind of. We were kind of in it, honestly. Okay. We had been planning on elopement anyways. My wife had been in a lot of weddings and just tons of stress and anxiety from that, and so much money and chaos that she just didn't feel like it was worth it for that. So we had planned on that, but then literally most of our plans changed anyways. We couldn't even pick up our marriage license the week of, because the Denver County Clerk said we're closed indefinitely. So there was so many wrinkles in the process that made it really unique and strange and awesome at the same time. And it really helped us realize, like, ultimately, what is a marriage? A covenant between two people and God. And that's it. And we got pretty much everything else stripped away from that, that reality. And that was really special to us. But it was a chaotic time.
I can only imagine. You're like, we're going to elope because it's less anxiety, less. And then it's like, oh, hello, 2020. We have been married 16 years. And I can tell you, well, one, I was a child, like I was 18. And I can tell you, looking back now, I would elope. I would elope and do it. And not that like I was 18, so the wedding was so stressful. I was like, somebody plan my wedding, just get me married, get me down the aisle. And he was the same way. But looking back and after all the weddings we've been in and seen and gone to, I'm like, man, throw a big party, get married, throw a big party and celebrate. Don't stress. Like at the end of the day, you're right. It's a covenant. It's a party. Like I think about like covenants with the Lord, and like they are exciting and fresh and new, and God's going to do great things through those things. So don't start it in debt. Don't start worried. Don't start anxious. Just start. Just have fun. Like really, really like commit and go for it and celebrate. That's always my biggest, like, I always tell people, go to at least 1 year of college. I wish I would have done that. And then get married. If you want to, get married, but elope. It's
great advice. Oh, yeah, it's great advice. And I would say, too, with that, like, if we just examine why we do what we do, mm-hmm. 90% of it is because of the cultural influence. Because right. what the people around us or what the culture around us say is best or acceptable or the right way to do it. So for us to think critically about it and be like, okay, wait, why do I actually want this? And is it my own doing or is it the culture of the people around me doing? Or is it the perception of other people? And I want to please them. And then just be honest with yourself right. about that, you know? And look, there's not a wrong path. All paths can be good.
Yeah.
And so we just need to know what's best for you. And that takes kind of introspection and self-awareness to bring that out and just not accepting culture's narrative.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we're just going to camp in on, and I'm just so excited to talk to somebody else about this because it's something I believe firmly in. I have been a believer for my entire life, like since I was 4 years old. And then through that have broken some chains and have, you know, grown in my relationship with God and really have seen this newer generation or this new wave of believers saying like, hey, we're allowed to dream. Like we're allowed to dream. And one, we're allowed to dream with God. Like God has such big things for us if we only step into them. And I know it's something you're passionate about. You're passionate about Christians being passionate, like mm-hmm. living a passionate life, being inspiring. And I think that's something that, like, I don't want to speak for, like, older generations, but I don't think older Christian generations were inspiring. And we are leading a courageous generation coming up. And so mm-hmm. tell me why those things are so important to you, and then let's talk about, like, how we can build on all of those.
Yeah. Well, I love that you're passionate about that and you outspoken in that because we need more of that. I think within Christianity, what we've seen, I think, is people, I think partly because of the way we interpret scripture and the way that tradition has handed it down, it's more of a fear-based system than a love-based system. And I think at its core, what God wants is a love-based system, not a fear-based system that says, do good so that you can get good, right? That's like retribution that God did away with in the Old Testament, and we like to revert to it because it's safer, it's more comfortable, and it's more of a process that we can attain. But then that puts all the emphasis on us attaining it. So that's not God's way either, right? God's saying receive and then give. So all that to say, I think what you see is this fear-based system that has kind of crept in that says, look, we're trying to play the get out of hell free card by being a good person and following Jesus. And because of that, I am just sitting here waiting until heaven, until the end comes and I get to be with God. And that produces this stagnancy and complacency and this circular motion. Yeah. So I think that's the core of it, right? And then from that, you get the effects of like, well, we're not of this world, right? So we don't need to try to transform this world. We're waiting for what's next. I am just a vessel, you know, all these things that these phrases that we use. And it's funny because what it creates is this complacency that God is not for. God's right. not for that. God is for bringing his kingdom here on earth now. And we get to be a part of that. And I think that shift creates massive changes in the way that we operate in the world as followers of Jesus. And if you think about like what Jesus was about, he was way more about doing something before saying something versus the other way around, right? He didn't say something and then followed up with the action. He led with love in action and then would follow with words when needed. Mm-hmm. And so in Christianity, we often get that mixed up by saying we need to know truth, we need to be able to speak truth, and we need to emphasize and correct and inform people what the Bible says and what God's truth is. But we forget that the whole thing that opens the door for that is our actions and our love and living on hope and on purpose in the world that God has given us infinite power to do through his spirit. I just think if you look at the woman at the well, what did Jesus do? He went and showed her visible love by engaging, pursuing, interacting, asking, and loving. And then at the end, she realized that he knew, right, who she was. That's what transformed her. It wasn't him saying, I know who you are, and right. now I need to change you, you know? And it was the other way around. So I think we just, that's the paradigm shift that I think we're starting to see more, right? And we need to see more of for you and for me and for people listening to be the beacons of hope that God has called us to be.
Absolutely. And I think, man, I'm just like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Because it's so good and it's so true. And I was thinking about just like the fact that like our generation is living this passionate life. One, doing things that we love because we were allowed to do that. We were allowed to chase these dreams. But then I also see this shift in a younger, like just a step younger than me that are like, no, we're getting to do what we love and we love Jesus and we're going to tell you about this. I'm like, oh, y'all are doing it. Like there's this really passionate thing. And I think that there's this middle ground of like, well, can the younger generation really lead people to Christ? And I'm like, well, what is the older generation doing? You're right. Like we're the vessels and we don't want to touch anything because we don't want to mark our, you know, like mess up that way to heaven. Like that, but it's like that faith without works is dead. Like there's just that, like that's just been rolling around in my brain since I heard it on Sunday. Our preacher preached on that. And it's like, faith without works is dead. So what is my faith working me to do? And so I love that. What is a way that we can like be actively passionate or like find our passion? Say we have listeners who are like, okay, cool. I'm like folding laundry right now. Like I'm not super passionate about laundry, but they're passionate about their family. So how can they be leading passionately?
Yeah. Well, I think every part of our life matters. And and when we operate out of full integration, then that's possible. So I think we have to integrate all of our life into this worldview or perspective that it is all connected and it all matters both to God and to us. So that means those mundane things matter just as much as the really important things, because who prescribes that importance on us? It's us or the culture around us again, right? So, and this goes back to, I think, one of the fundamental shifts in our generation or the younger generation is this idea that a more clear idea that money doesn't bring happiness, right? I think that's been preached so much that finally there's a little bit more of like, okay, it's probably not all about money. So even if we don't have the experience of that yet, you can understand the idea of it enough and believe in it enough to say, I'm not going to just choose a path because of the money. Mm-hmm. Now, that still happens. And that's not saying that money's bad. It's just saying that what we try to find fulfillment in, it isn't what we expect. And I think we're learning that at a younger age than before because of information, because of what's available to us through the internet, but it still takes work within us. So I think the important part is this is only work that you can do on an individual level. No one can do it for you. And it takes aligning each part of your life with God and what His calling is on your life and the identity that He's given. And I think the danger comes when we get our identity from other people, from culture, or from maybe what we perceive we should do versus what we really feel called to do. And that identity piece is so crucial to having full alignment and attachment to God's calling and purpose for us individually.
Yeah, man. Again, I'm like, cool. Awesome. One of the other things that you and I are both super passionate about is people living courageous lives. It's one of my very favorite things to speak on, just that call to be courageous. It's like commanded of us. Like I've commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not fear. And I think we live in a culture now where it's like, if we buck the system, like, well, what are you doing? How are you gonna do this? Like, so this like step of courageousness, and sometimes it's just being courageous in the mundane, right? Like just being brave enough to say like, this is the mundane and I'm okay being here. And I think that's a really courageous move because it's being still where we are. Or there's the courageousness of like, okay, I'm going to shake it up. I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to do something big that I believe that the Lord's called me to do. I could just go on all day long about courageousness. And I would love to hear your thoughts on like, how do we be a more courageous people?
Yeah. The simplest answer that I think would be true is by living by faith. And you know what's funny is like, yeah, of course. No, like truly, faith means you don't have sight and you're moving forward anyways. Yep. You know, the story, Jeremiah 30, this shook me when I first heard my pastor like several years ago talk about it. Jeremiah 33, there's a story of the prophet Jeremiah, and this God speaks to him. He hears God speak to him and says that tomorrow on such and such place, such and such day, your cousin's going to sell you this land for this amount of money, yada, yada, yada. And then it goes, the next day, the verse goes, the next day, his cousin sold him this piece of land for yada, yada. And then at the end of it, it says, and then I knew it was the word of the Lord. And what's so fascinating about that is, like, we think that these Old Testament prophets, it was so clear that God spoke to them. No, he knew it was the word of the Lord after it happened. Yeah. And he knew it because it became true. So there was still a measure of faith that he required to believe that this was God speaking to him and that this would happen. And then when it was confirmed, he said, okay, now I know this was the word of the Lord.
Yep.
And so all that to say is, look, faith has always been a requirement, regardless of its Old Testament, New Testament, today. Same thing. Faith means, look, I feel like God has called me this. I feel like God's shared this. God spoke this to me over my life. And it doesn't make sense, but I'm going to take the next step.
Yep.
And trust. You know, and you know what's crazy about it is, like, I played professional golf for about 4 years and golfed my whole life, and it ended up as a quote-unquote failure, right? Yeah. Like I didn't reach the PGA Tour. I didn't get my card. And that was brutally hard, right? I had this identity that I often associated with of being a professional golfer. And when that didn't work out and I wasn't able to accomplish my goal, then what, right? Am I a failure? Was all those years wasted? Now my 4 or 5 years behind all my peers in other career endeavors. And all that wasn't true because it prepared me for what God had already prepared for me, right? In this new path.
Yeah.
And if I wouldn't have been faithful in pursuing that, I wouldn't have been ready for this new path. But because God allowed me to, then it allowed me to take a few steps back, pivot, and go on this new direction that God called me to and do it well because of the first part of the journey. And we never know that 10th step. So just take the next step.
Right. I always say that. Take the next step and then, like, gut check. Am I good? Like, are we good? And it's like that walking in the dark. Like, you take a step and you're like, okay, I don't feel like I'm going to bump into anything right yet. Okay, so then the next step. And you bump into something, what do? Okay, you pivot. You turn. You, like, you make some adjustments. And that's exactly what we do with the Lord. We step in faith. Okay, cool. Are we good here, God? Okay, good. And you take another step. Okay, we good? And then you feel something. Okay, cool. We're going to turn. Which way do I turn, God? Like, it's just like this constant communication in, like, I don't want to say, like, it's all in the feeling, but it's, like, all in relationship with the Lord, because when we're in relationship, we can hear and feel and do all based on what he's calling us to. And it's such a I used to hate it when my dad would say that, like, well, just listen to the Lord. I'm like, oh, but what does that mean? Like, come on. And so he was just, like, very sweet about it, like, just listen to the Lord. And so Now here I am. I'm like, just listen to the Lord. It's fine. But all that to say, if you're going to be listening and stepping in faith, then you have to be connected to the source.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now a message from a network supporter.
Hey, today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Faithful Counseling. So let's get real for a second. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? I know for many of us that can be anxiety, depression, fear, or even broken relationships. These are all things that can be holding us back. But this is where Faithful Counseling comes in. Faithful Counseling is a worldwide counseling service that is making professional counseling accessible, affordable, and convenient so anyone and everyone can face life's challenges and get help anytime, anywhere. Faithful Counseling offers 4 different ways that you can connect with a licensed counselor. You can sit down for video calls, phone calls, live chats, or instant messaging. Every counselor on Faithful Counseling is licensed by their respective state board and has over 3,000 hours of experience. If you think Faithful Counseling is for you, you can sign up today and be matched with your counselor in 24 hours or less. Faithful Counseling is helping us live our healthiest lives in the comfort and safety of our own homes. Be sure to check out Faithful Counseling at faithfulcounseling.com/JeanetteTapley. And now back to today's show.
You know, and I think the most, back to what you're talking about with courage too, I think the most courageous thing is to take baby steps. Mm-hmm. That's how we grow. And the most courageous thing is to change, because life isn't stagnant. Like, there's no such thing as stagnancy in life. So if we're not growing, we're going to be decaying. Change is inevitable.
Yeah.
And the only way we grow is by effort and intention, by saying, I'm going to take that step forward. Because if I stay here, I'm probably going to start creeping backwards.
Yeah.
And that's true with a relationship with God. Any relationship that we're not trying to grow in or change in some way, we're not progressing. We're going to be sliding a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how you put that, because God is not about religion. He's about relationship.
Yep.
And our biggest danger within Christianity is religion.
Mm-hmm. I have three kids and my middle is 12. And I said something, I asked him a question about, I think he was talking about a social studies teacher or something. And I said, well, is he a Christian? He goes, I don't know if he has religion. I was like, that's a really weird thing for you to say to me. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, what do you mean? Like, so we were able to talk about like religion versus relationship and all. And I mean, like, I think he knows that deep down, but just the way he phrased that, I was like, you don't know if he has religion? Okay. All right. Like, what 12-year-old says that? Okay. Mm-hmm. Weirdo. No, he's not weirdo.
Yeah, I love that. Kids are so on it. You know, they're so honest and real. And I love that because, you know, I think we see that even like in marriage, right? In relationship with our spouse. It's if I approach my marriage as a religion, that's destined for failure, right? It is doomed. It's yeah. Like when you worship one another and like just try to like go through the motions of like what this practice should look like,
right.
That's not going to be healthy. That's not going to be good for either side.
Yeah.
A relationship requires a dance. It requires intuitiveness, listening, hearing, talking, communicating, ebbing and flowing, and it's fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And man, that's what God wants.
Yeah.
That's what he wants with us.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so good. And it's when we have that in sync, and there's times where it's not in sync. There's times where there's like this great silence where I'm like, okay, shoot, where did you go? And God's like, well, I never went anywhere. But I'm like, what happened? Where's our hiccup? And sometimes that means that there's like unnoticed sin in my life. Or sometimes that means like I've completely been like, I can't right now. This is too much. This is too heavy. My world is crashing down around me, which is when I need to turn around the most. But there's just like this, like my dad used to say, do you ever play like the ping pong, like with the ball?
Mm-hmm.
My dad would say, like, you can like stretch that, like the paddle is always going to be there and the string is attached to the paddle and you can run as far as you want from that paddle, but that ball is always going back to the paddle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have often viewed my relationship with God like that, where I'm like, I don't want to go. And then it's like back to the paddle. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. here I am. And he's so gracious and so good to take us back. And so if you're feeling a time of darkness or a time of sadness or a time of separation, just know that you can turn around. Like, you can head back. You can sit right where you are and be like, okay, God, like, where are you? One, like, cry out. My favorite thing to do when I feel that way is read the Psalms, because David is so dramatic. And it just, like, it hits me right where I'm at, because I'm like, okay, this is exactly how I feel. Like, I feel distant. Where are you? Why am I mourning? What is going on? Mm-hmm. And God's so sweet to be like, I've been here all along. I've been here. I'm here for you. I love you.
Yeah. And you know, what's so special is that that's a part of being human. Like every single human has been in those dark seasons, has been in the valleys, has been in a separated state, and still can be at any time. That's so all that does is it connects us to our fellow humans.
Yep.
It humbles us. Like, we're no better than anyone else. Yep. We're part of every single human. Just think about like how much sweeter the return is. You know, that's what the benefit of is, like, by returning or feeling God's presence return or being near again, it's twice as sweet as it was before. That's the benefit of it. So I think we have to love ourselves in those seasons and be like, look, this isn't unique to me. I'm not alone in this. This has happened to everyone. And it's a season, right?
Yeah.
And it may last longer or shorter than I expect, but it will be used in some measure for good. And if I can just be faithful to what this season requires of me, which may just mean sitting in it, you know, it will be used for good. And that's a faith part of just trusting that, even if it sucks, which it does suck.
Yeah. Okay, Thane, tell us about your books and your book and your courses. I want to hear about what you've created.
Yeah, you know, as I was talking about at the start, my big mission that I've felt called to as I've gone down this journey since golf is to help people kind of in the middle tier of society, meaning you have kind of your survival needs taken care of, right? You have basic needs taken care of, but you're maybe not doing much with what you've been given, right? And that can be all of us at times. I'm not immune to that. But I really want to help people take ownership and never sell, meaning lead themselves well and bring out the unique gifts and talents that we need. We all need every individual to unlock their gifts and talents so that we can use those for the greater good of the world and bringing God's kingdom here on earth. And know every person's required for that. And so with that, I've this idea of taking ownership and never settling has become kind of two foundations of that practice as I've looked at it. And that requires growing in self-awareness and then developing discipline. Because if we aren't self-aware, we won't know what to take ownership for, right? We won't know what we need to take ownership for or what we're not taking ownership for. So we have to be able to see ourselves well. And then on the never settling, it's just discipline, right? To say, I'm not going to settle for less than I'm capable of in this moment. And we all default to the path of least resistance. So the whole point is, how do we not default? How do we choose, make a choice that requires effort as well and intention, a reason why? And that's ultimately discipline. So the two courses I've been really excited about the last year, I've been building them, and they're 8-week courses each that will help people grow in self-awareness and then develop discipline. They're simple processes and then practices that help unlock that and sharing some of the tools along the way. And I'm really excited about those because I really believe in them. And I think that it can generate a lot of those fruits within you that then lead to better leadership within your circles and community. Because honestly, the best leaders aren't the people that you see on the big screen or have big platforms or audiences. People that lead with no one seeing, no one watching, to the one. That's what I care about in leadership. How do we lead to the one? And those courses are geared to that. The book has been for free on my website. I just want to bring more hope in the world. It's a hopeless time, and I want people to be more hope-filled, hopeful. And it's all about some perspective shifts that can help us unlock the power of hope in our lives. So that's at thanemarcus.com/hope. And it's been fun to just share that with people.
That's awesome. How has it been received so far? Like, are people like devouring it, or people like, I don't know that, because this is what I see sometimes. I see sometimes people are like, this is a hopeless time. I'm not ready to find hope. Like, there's just too much. So are people like, do you see both sides of that? People are like, oh my gosh, I need this so much. Or like, I'm just not ready for hope, which is such a weird thing. Like, I'm a glass half full person. So I'm like, everything is awesome, even though the world is burning down. This is going to be okay. But I know people like that. They're like, I just can't even focus on anything good right now.
Yeah, no, there definitely is. And there's a place for that, meaning I think we're all on a spectrum in the sense that there's idealism on one side and there's cynicism on the other, and or skepticism is the healthier version of that. And so in that spectrum, we're all going to find ourselves in a different place. So obviously the people that are more drawn to it are going to get more from it. I've had some good feedback in the sense that it's structured in a way that I provided some extra resources at the end in the afterword. That is a longer read, but it's making the case for idealism and the power of belief in the way we live, for people that maybe don't buy in as much. And so I wanted to frame in like, look, I know that some of you may not connect with, what's in the main portion of the book, which is geared towards people that are either realists or idealists. But if you don't connect with that, here's some more arguments for why it might be good to maybe work on some of this. And again, we need both sides of the perspective. So I welcome that. And I think that, you know, we don't become cynicists by accident. It's because of life's hard. There's bad people. There's bad things that happen, and it can be really brutal. And we face real every person has trauma in their life.
Oh yeah.
And that informs our perspective a lot of times. So I don't discredit that in any way. But I understand that. I think even with that, this can be useful in just shifting some of those perspectives.
Yeah. And I like to call this keyword therapy. So this is what I love to ask other authors. When you were writing your book, what did God like really kind of, I've done a couple interviews today where I'm like, God's been like really mean to me lately, and he hasn't been, but I almost said like, what did he like get out of you? When you were writing, we often live the book first, and then we write the book, and then we're writing the book, and he's like, it's like therapy, like it's coming out all over again. So what did God really teach you as you wrote your book?
I think this idea of doing it for the one, you know, this one I had kind of planned on, like, I want to give this away for free for a while. And so sometimes, you know, it's like, why am I doing this? Does this make sense? Is it worth investing in? And so I think just understanding that, look, like if this brings encouragement for one person, that's worth it. And God will do what he's going to do with it. And so I think he was teaching me that, alongside just that, hope isn't, you know, a fantasy mythological thing. It isn't wishful thinking. It's actually, I think, what God requires of us. And, especially as followers of Jesus. And, I love N.T. Wright's book, Surprised by Hope. I actually read that after I wrote mine, like pretty close in proximity. And man, it helps us realize that like Jesus unlocks this lens of hope that is available for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's readily available for all of us at all times. And so I think it just affirmed my conviction in that. And I will, you know, I will grant that I am much more idealistic by nature and optimist by nature. But I think that I hope that the book can frame it in a way that's approachable and connective. And that's been some of the feedback I've gotten, which is cool.
I love that. That's great. Okay. The podcast is called It's Time for Coffee. We know that in everything there's a season under the sun. Right now, it's time for coffee. What is it time for in your life right now?
It is time for, I would say, it's interesting. I met with a guy, this last month, and it was just kind of a general meeting. It kind of turned into a therapy session because he's been a therapist for like 20 years. So that was kind of out of the blue, but he gave me this word of pressure that a lot of, my energy is pressure filled because I'm so focused and passionate and driven. And that can be harmful to people around me, especially, in marriage. And so, is this life-giving is a great question that I've been asking more. Is this life-giving for me and the people around me, or am I creating this culture of pressure? So all that to say, what it's time for now is letting go of the pressure I put on myself and thus others experience through that, so that I can be present with God and connected and aligned with him in the flow of daily life. And so I think that's the most honest answer I can give.
I love that. I have a friend who does this. She does such a great job at saying like, okay, well, I'm going to work on that project in about 6 months. I'm like, why don't you work on it right this minute? That's what I want to do. Like, I'm in it. Like, we're going. And she's like, I don't have the capacity to do that right now. I'm trying to finish up this and I'm working on this next and then this. I'm like, the fact that you are so good at dividing stuff out, I'm like, oh, I look so up to her because that's such a beautiful thing. Because I'm like, God's like, all right, I think we're going to do something awesome here. I'm like, cool, I'll knock it out today. And he's like, no, that's not what I meant. Like, just take a break. Like, we're going to get there. I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I love
that. He's in the waiting, right? Like, isn't it funny that almost, I think universally, if you look through scripture, there isn't a time when God doesn't require us to wait on mm-hmm. him and wait on the Spirit and wait on his direction and calling and opening the door. I mean, there's every instance in the Bible, there's always this season of waiting associated with God's calling. And man, we don't talk about that enough. And yeah. We need that.
There's a song I've been loving, and my podcast listeners are going to be like, Jeanette, not again. I'm trying to hear it because I have it on my phone. But it says, I can see the promise. I can see the future. You're the God of seasons. I'm just in the winter. If all I know of harvest is that it's worth your time, or it's worth my patience. And then if you're not done working, God, I'm not done waiting. And it's from seed to sequoia. So it's like, we are planted as this seed. And I mean, even just in the last 6 months, I've been like, God, am I supposed to be doing this? And he's like, hey, you're just like a baby tree right now. Like, we've planted, we've grown. If you give up now, this little tree's just going to die. Like, I've got a sequoia in mind for you. Like, you're going to be this like strong and heavy rooted tree. But like, if you give up now, you're just a baby tree. Mm. So it's like this like growing process. I'm like, okay, like if all I know of seasons is that it's worth my time. Like, it's worth my patience. Like, come on. Mm. So I have like, it's a Christmas song by Hillsong, and I've just been listening to it over and over and over. So
Christine Kane has an awesome sermon on that, on appointing versus anointing. Man, it just I think of it every time in this context because, you know, David anointed king, appointed king 12 years later. Abraham, right, anointed as a father of many nations, and then like years and years and years before that was appointed to it.
Yeah.
So it's a requirement, and that waiting time is so beautiful because it's preparing us.
Yep.
And if we use it well, man, we are going to be prepared, and it's not going to be a tree that falls down, you know. Yeah. And there's a lot of trees that fall down, unfortunately.
Yeah, man. This has been so delightful, like so encouraging. I hope that our friends at home are listening and are ready to take some action and hopefully be courageous and live passionately. And friends, if you want to go check out Thane's stuff, where can they find you in all of your courses and book?
Thank you. Yeah, ThaneMarcus.com is kind of my headquarters for everything. So you can find the courses, the books, podcast link on there. And then the socials is at Thane Marcus, and love just connecting with people. So don't feel free to reach out. Don't be shy. And hope that if you felt prodded by this conversation or some of the things that we shared, at take a leap of faith on one of the courses and just go on the journey with me. That'd be awesome.
So great. Thane, thank you so much for having coffee with me today. This was so fun.
Thanks, Jeanette. This has been awesome.
Thanks for hanging out and having coffee with Thane and I. I hope that we encouraged you to chase your dreams and to run your race and to just take that next step. I can't wait to see what your dreams and where your calling takes you. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.